Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Compliance Week podcast. I'm Joe Mott, staff writer for Compliance Week, and today we'll be talking to Peter Spivak, co-leader of the law firm Hogan Lovells Investigations White Collar and Fraud Practice, and a member of its International Bribery and Corruption Task Force. He offered his thoughts on Brazil's tough new anti-corruption law, which was enacted in August, and how it may affect companies seeking to do business there, especially in connection with the World Cup in 2014 and the Olympics in 2016. He discussed the anti-corruption compliance issues associated with these two global events.
Brazil has been the focus of a lot of companies' economic development. It's probably the major economy in South America. Although it suffered a few reversals lately, it is still a growth engine for a lot of companies. Even more so, you've got these two major events that really will attract worldwide attention, and that's done a couple of things. I mean, the first is there's been a lot of development in Brazil that is focused on the World Cup and the Olympics. Because those are really national events, there's been a huge amount of construction and infrastructure development that has been and will be devoted to ensuring that the attendees at those events are well-serviced and they can get to and from them and they have hotels to stay in and restaurants to eat at and things like that. So it's going to be a real boom from the standpoint of tourism and all the things that tourists need. Now, unfortunately, along with those things comes inevitably some potential because of large contracts being awarded for people to try to cut corners and get contracts through payments, things that would be inappropriate, unlawful, or otherwise ill-advised. And that's where Brazil's focused. And Brazil's responding to both the fact that you've got worldwide attention focused on it, worldwide participation. I mean, the World Cup is the single biggest athletic event in the world. The Olympics comes, you know, a close second. So those two things, one after the other, has really heightened both the attention of the world and the need for Brazil to respond to that and show that it's an effective, it's got an effective governance structure. So one of the things that Brazil has done is it's passed a new act. It was passed in July of 2013. It's effective January 28th, 2014. That act has been in discussion for a long period of time. It's had a long gestation period. It was originally proposed in 2010, and the Brazil legislature has spent a lot of time revising it in response to concerns both from governance experts and also from companies that will be subject to it.
I asked why it took so long for Brazil to come around with this new anti-corruption law.
And it was originally proposed, you know, now 3 years ago. And so I think the expectation had been that it would have been passed and enforced well before this time. Mm-hmm. That was, it, you know, there it almost became you know, sort of a tradition to refer to the fact that Brazil this year was going to enact its new law. And you heard that in 2011, 2012, and then finally in 2013 it passed. I think part of the reason that it took so long is there was pushback on the draft law on various points. There was a lot of discussion about what the penalties actually should be, and also whether there should be mitigation of those penalties, and if there were mitigation, how that mitigation could be achieved. So you had, I think, just discussion. You had interest groups focusing on the law. You had companies trying to give their perspective that will be subject to the law, and that resulted in just a very extensive and lengthy process.
How does the new law differ from how Brazil addressed such matters in the past?
So some of the major differences are Brazil's a civil law country, so it's kind of civil law tradition, and there's not generally, other than environmental crimes, the concept of the liability of a company for penalties. Instead, you're focusing on natural persons. So one of the things that the new law introduced that really was different was the concept that companies as an entity, organizations, could be subject to penalties for the actions of their employees. And those penalties are pretty significant. So although they are civil, they are fines up to 20% of the company's revenue in Brazil, which can be just a huge, huge amount of money. If it's not possible to determine the net revenue, then the fines can be up to 60 million Brazilian real. So in either case, a company can face a significant amount of penalty liability. It's also something where it's strict liability, so there doesn't have to be knowledge or intent at the organizational level. And so if an employee commits a bribery act, then the company can face a sanction up to the value of the contract. There had been ranges from 0.1% up to 30%, and so there was, I think some compromise and adjustment. It's also notable there are other sanctions. There's a sort of a shaming attempt, which is a publication of the decision regarding the corrupt behavior, suspension of company activities in Brazil. I mean, literally the company can be told that it has to cease activity in the country, and a prohibition from participating in public tenders with the government. What that does is it gives a significant amount of leverage to the government authorities when they deal with one of these cases.
Why now? What pushed Brazil to take this step after years of not doing much, quite frankly? And did the two upcoming events play a part in that enactment?
They definitely were a focus and a trigger, but you have to also look at the other side of the motivation. Brazil's a member of the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, and one of the OECD requirements is that a country have anti-corruption legislation and that it cooperate with international law enforcement. And so that was something that President Rousseff really wanted, membership in the OECD, and something that the U.S. foreign policy really pushed. Brazil is also a member of the Organization of American States. That the OAS has a convention against corruption, which similarly encourages countries to have domestic anti-corruption legislation that applies to bribery of foreign officials.
What does this all mean for companies looking to do business in conjunction with the World Cup and Olympics? What compliance challenges do they face as they seek contracts in these multinational events?
Well, it really means that companies have to introduce, if they don't have already, a compliance structure that focuses on Brazil and operations in the region. Many multinationals that operate in Brazil have had for a number of years compliance organizations. They have chief compliance officers. They have sets of policies and procedures in Portuguese. They have reporting mechanisms. They have training and certification mechanisms. And they have ways to audit and monitor behavior of employees. For those companies that don't, they will really need to introduce those measures. There's a provision under the Brazilian law that allows reduction of fines up to 2/3 and a waiver of the other sanctions I mentioned, that is the suspension of activities and prohibition with contracting with the government, if the company has a compliance program and if it voluntarily discloses the information that it has about a compliance exception or a problem. What that does is it really incentivizes companies to create a mechanism to detect, investigate, and assess any kind of bribery or other compliance issue. And it incentivizes them to then go into Brazilian authorities and make that report.
That wraps up this edition of our podcast. Again, that was Peter Spivak, a member of the law firm Hogan Lovells International Bribery and Corruption Task Force. He was discussing Brazil's new anti-corruption law and how it might affect companies looking to do business there during the upcoming World Cup and Olympics. I'm Joe Mott, staff writer at Compliance Week. Thanks for listening.